happens. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. People are having trouble breathing in some parts of the U.S. as smoke from record-breaking wildfires in Canada oozes across the border, affecting states including Wisconsin, Minnesota, and as far south as Georgia. It is a problem for people sensitive to pollution and particles in the air. CBS's Tara Molina with more.
There are health concerns.
If you have asthma, if you have any type of respiratory issues, or if you are older, make sure to monitor.
Keeping an eye out for air quality alerts. Advice from Ayanna Simba with the Illinois Environmental Council, an advocacy group based here in Chicago.
We can't control necessarily what happens in Canada. I think our biggest concern is that we have air quality issues here at home. So we have the wildfire smoke, we have the high temperatures, we have the sunlight mixed in. That can actually exacerbate the air quality issues in Chicago.
That trade war between the U.S. and China is affecting black women in a hair care industry worth more than $3 billion. Everything from hair for braiding to styling products is often imported from China. Natural hair stylist Ajia Blackshear says some will need to raise prices.
I have to explain to them, you know, what's going on and have that conversation. Some people are okay with it, but for a lot of people, like, okay, I won't be seeing you for a little while. I'm going to go have to find somebody that fits within my budget.
The UN nuclear watchdog says Iran has increased its stockpile of uranium that is enriched to near nuclear weapons grade. The International Atomic Energy Agency is calling on Tehran to reverse course, and President Trump has been trying to reach a nuclear deal with that nation. National security expert Joseph Cirincione.
Iran has roughly doubled its stockpile of 60% enriched uranium since Donald Trump was elected, and a good deal of that has come in the last 3 months since they started negotiating about a new nuclear deal. So I would see this rapid increase as an effort to create leverage in these negotiations.
Former President Biden spoke yesterday at the Delaware Veterans Memorial, partly to honor his son, Beau, who died 10 years ago. He says his prostate cancer can be beaten, and he's taking a daily pill.
I feel good.
Have you decided on your treatment options?
Yeah, we have. We're underway, and everybody's, all the folks are very optimistic.
It was a good morning for space fans.
3, 2, 1.
Blue Origin successfully launched 6 tourists about 62 miles above the Earth past the internationally recognized boundary of space. The flight from Texas lasted 11 minutes. A science educator and professionals were aboard. It's the 12th human flight. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin is known for its drinking culture, and women are at higher risk of negative health impacts than men, Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Experts say alcohol impacts women differently than men, affecting every system in the body and potentially leading to hundreds of conditions, including cardiovascular diseases and some types of cancers. Dr. George Koob directs the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. He says women absorb and metabolize alcohol differently and tend to have a higher blood alcohol level than men after consumption because of body water distribution.
The pathology associated with alcohol is just generally worse in women than in men, and progress more quickly. Everything from emergency department visits, hospitalization, liver transplants, and even deaths among women compared to men.
And are more likely to self-medicate with alcohol. Nearly 30% of Wisconsin adults binge drink at least once per month. Koob notes that in the past 50 years, the prevalence of drinking for women has caught up to men, and some evidence suggests that women progress more quickly in the stages of addiction to alcohol than men. He advises being aware of any family history of alcohol use disorder, since addiction can have genetic and environmental components.
Alcohol is a social lubricant. It's an intricate part of our society, but its toxicity is dose dependent. So the more you drink, the more of the problems there are.
Research shows even one drink per day can increase a woman's risk for breast cancer by up to 15%. Currently, the U.S. dietary guidelines for women are one drink in a 24-hour period. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice looking weekend as we transition into the month of June. Sunny skies today with highs in the lower 70s. Mostly clear skies tonight, cool and crisp with lows in the lower 40s. Temps rebound nicely tomorrow with lots of sunshine, a high of 77. Right now, it's 69 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm going to light it up State Street style because I'll be live from Madison. Joining me in studio will be Madison filmmaker Austin Galante and UW Cinematheque programmer Ben Reiser.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Ooh, Saturday afternoon. Welcome, Pencil Busters. Well, you know, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, chairman of the board, Jacob. We are all gathered here on a Saturday after the Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, there's a campground right where I'm now about to relocate my place as I'm now about to live in Pennsylvania. I notice everybody is heading to the beach at the campground, and I thought it must be summer. I thought there was some type of hint there that it must be summer. So the Saturday after Memorial Day, summer is on. Johnny, that means, you know, as we used to in the old program, as Seven Dust copying Alice Cooper, school's out for summer, dude.
Yeah. Well, it's getting close. It's that time of year, Tim. I think Jacob and I were talking about it on the Memorial Day show this weekend, long weekend. So here we are on Saturday. It's still May, which is kind of a weird feeling, Tim, for me. I'm used to Memorial Day ending the month and not having another full week of May, but I'm digging it. It's not quite June yet. We're here on the final day of May, chatting it up. A couple of educated educators talking education. Mm-hmm. But you know, Tim, just to unconfuse things, we're sort of colloquially, if that's even a word, I don't know. Colloquially?
Jacob, can you check him on that?
Yes, I've got it right here, Johnny. It's cloaca. You're thinking of cloaca.
That must be it. But anyways, I say, like, kind of, we talked about Memorial Day being, you know, kind of an official start to summer, not the scientific official one, but the cultural one, because the summer solstice, we know, doesn't happen until June 20th. Mm. This is the 20th, 21st, 26th. Sometimes, depending on where you live and what time zone you're listening from, it's that time of year, mid, like the 20th around there of June. The summer solstice, but unofficially, Tim, I think you're right. Most of us educators are thinking it's close to those days. If it's not happening already, I know that I have some friends around the country now, family I'm friends with down in Texas. Their son had his last day of school today. Some teachers that I work with in other parts of the country are winding things down next week. I know here in Washington, it's mid-June. That the schools are out for summer, but we're in that mode, school being out for summer. So we could talk a little bit today about, hey, what do you do in what I call the off season? It's really not, you're really not out of school or not working, just the labor changes. And as educators, we think differently about, okay, it's the off season. What are we gearing up for as we head into back to school in the fall. I won't go there yet. So
no, don't go. Yeah, don't go there yet. Because what you're thinking, making me think about though, is you know my time as a K-12 classroom teacher. You're actually the gearing up for the last day of school is in and of itself a gearing up, and not that I did this, but I know that at the time you could find lots of K-12 teachers in Blockbuster that last week of school.
Man, that's a relic of the past. That's a relic of the past. The Blockbuster video.
Blockbuster video.
Did you bring them home and play them on your Victrola, Tim?
You know, I hooked them up to my hamster on the spin wheel and got them going there.
That's when you got a telegram from downtown on what day school was actually going to end.
No, but think about that, right? I mean, people are like, all you teachers do the last week of school is show movies and take kids out for recess.
Nah.
But, you know, I remember
we also clean out desks. And we also, I'm going to date myself, we clean the erasers and make sure the boards are all ready for. Oh, you know, it is the time, though, where we wind things down in the classroom, you know. And yeah. I would say, Tim, you know, after Memorial Day, every year I was teaching and all the classrooms I'm visiting, I'm still learning. We talk about that all the time. I hate that idea of lost learning time. Yeah. It's like, come on, kids are learning when we're together. It's also important to learn to transition. So we're gearing up for like, what's the next few months going to look like? And how can you begin to think about what the fall's going to look like? You know, so you're thinking about meeting the teachers from the net, like that you might have next year. They may even be doing some classroom days where, like, you go visit the classroom you're going to be in next year.
You're talking from the kid perspective here.
Yeah, even the teachers. I mean, that's the thing is, like, you're this month or so or weeks, however far out from that school's out for summer day, right? I know you referenced the Seven Dust version, but I'm a Detroit boy, man. I'm an Alice Cooper to end on that. You know, but, you know, that's a special day, but we're, you know, teachers are, they're planning still, they're still learning. It's just different kind of learning. It's sort of like the curriculum is wrapped up for the year. What do we got going on for the transition that we're preparing kids for, whether it's their summer, whether it's, you know, into summer terms, but it is always followed by a fall coming up.
Well, don't go there yet, though. I teachers listening to the show right now are like, Dr. Johnny, wait a minute, dude. Don't be talking fall. We're just about ready to go into summer, man. Don't Tim, get
I'm
us
gonna,
there.
I'm gonna be that voice of grimness that I'm not usually, but I know I'm in a lot of classrooms. We talked about it a couple Saturdays ago. Like I'm in my pre-off season. The beginning of my off season is where I talk to all the teachers I can, right? As many as I can sit down with and have a conversation about what are the things that went well this year? What didn't go well? What would they like to learn more of? What would they like to share? As you know, we plan to teach more teachers and to support teachers out there and work with principals. So I'm still in that phase, but Tim, I'm going to relate back to our teaching days. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about something that's kind of scaring me. And it's making me a little bit worried for the end of the school year because we just talked about the kind of fun stuff and that's all still happening. But teachers are under a lot of stress. We know that.
Yeah, they are.
But I'm going to connect. Tim, do you remember when we were teaching? It was usually around February or March. These are the good old days, the golden days. No, they weren't. But, you know, this is how when Tim and I were teaching, you know, there was – states did their budget. And we talked this week a little bit about the Wisconsin state legislation finishing, you know, kind of their budget cuts and the kind of things they did to Governor Evers' proposals, you know, and ditching the important stuff that actually helps schools care for kids. But put that aside, it's asinine to me that we are in the end of May and still doing budget stuff. Is back in the day, not that it was better, but remember February? Mm-hmm. It was like February, March. And as a newer teacher, something that was always in my mailbox around that time of year, it just put an awful feeling in my stomach. but I'd get the pink slip. Do you remember the pink slip, Tim? Did you guys have pink slips?
They weren't pink, but keep going.
So we'd get pink slipped in Michigan. And this is and what would happen is like the budget would come out and there would be cuts. And anybody who was in a certain level of seniority, like new teachers and different things, who before we really knew what kind of money we could move around and hire and have for the fall, people got pink slipped, which meant you might not be teaching here in the fall.
That's so always that's encouraging.
No, it sucks.
No, I know.
And it was like clockwork right around February, March, but you knew. And you kind of knew after a few years, like, hey, this is a seniority thing. Most of you will get hired back when we have the count for who's coming back to school in the fall, who's retiring, who's moving on, who might be moved to a different school, what kinds of things happen. But there was like, you know, kind of a heads up, like you're not protected. You might not be back here next year. And unions did a pretty good job of mediating that and letting you know, especially for those with seniority, you might not get pink slipped, but you know, budget cuts determined how many teachers were rehired and kind of the lay of the land for employment for the following year. And I have to imagine, like, I used to hate it. February would roll around, that would happen, a big chunk of us. And then when I had cleared that with seniority, it was, you know, talking to the new bloods,
right,
saying, hey, you know, this is something we go through. Just try not to, you know, try not to let it worry you, which they're like, man, am I working here next year or am I not? It was, right. It wasn't the greatest system. But it would happen like clockwork because the budget would be set around February, March. Here we are, it's May. Mm-hmm. And budgets are still being set. And there, I would say, kind of record pressures to cut back even more. I mean, we talked about it in the class and session this week, the I would say devastating cuts Wisconsin is dealing with,
right,
and other states as well. Well, I'm talking to a lot of teachers, Tim, who are telling me, you know, I'm kind of worried about these budget cuts and if I'm coming back to this school next year or if I'll be. So it's the end of the school year and there's a fair amount of teachers out there who aren't certain if they're going to be working in the fall. This is just a terrible labor condition.
Yeah.
For important people, I would say defending democracy, frontline workers, mandatory workers in our community, teachers, who are not quite sure. I mean, it's May, we're going into June, and budgets are just being kind of unveiled.
Right.
And so that means like districts now are dealing with, okay, how much, who do we have? Like, how can we have special education in our building? And if so, how many teachers can we have? How many parapros? What kind of supports? What are the class sizes looking like? That's stuff we used to do in February, March.
Yeah.
It's now the end of May and we don't quite know in a lot of districts what's happening for next year. So that's another kind of like just reading the pulse of the front lines right now. Okay. Teachers are saying, hey, I'm kind of worried about this because I'm not even sure what next year looks like at this school. So to me, that's kind of like one of those things like, yeah, it's summer. We're celebrating the end of the school year. And a lot of us used to remember thinking about the fall, but man.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're sitting there, yeah, like you just said, right, you don't know. And then I'd say combine that with also the message. So you imagine you're potentially, you don't have a job, but yet we're still hearing about the massive teacher shortage nationwide in different places. And so, yeah, to be a teacher today is to really to be able to, as Joanne, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanne always try to remind, to try to remain regulated. What in right. the world are we doing
How hard
here?
Is that task?
Man, you cannot. It just makes it tough. But you know what, though, Johnny, before we go to the break, let's bring everybody in though and go. But we are excited here as we're about to, like you say, hit the summer months, do those summer things that are going to be incredibly, hopefully, allowing teachers to gain some of that self-regulation back so that they can be ready to hit it hard in the fall. Oh, so much. Johnny, lots of news going on. Just want to say, hey, can you sue if your kid can't read? We covered that story. We're going to talk about that because you might be, or maybe you won't be surprised, but we've got an answer. And Johnny, I got some AI news for you. Man, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's
I'm going to ask on the break. I'm going to go type into AI, who's Sue?
Oh, Sue. Oh, you know, a girl named Sue. Busted Pencil. A boy named Sue. Johnny Cash. Busted Pencil's back after the break.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Dan.
Well, hello, and welcome in to tonight's broadcast of Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Austin Thomas, your radio broadcaster for the game. We'll try this one more time. We got this game started yesterday, but just one out recorded, and, well, one more pitch after that as well, before the game was called and suspended to a doubleheader today. So thanks for joining us. It's 3:20 p.m. here in Wisconsin Rapids as the Rafters try to finish off game one with a win and get back on track against the Rockford Rivets. Yesterday, it was Seth Spencer on the mound as he retired the first batter in the order of the game. And, well, that first batter was Cal Jones, so he went down with a strikeout swinging, but that at-bat was taken while a little bit of pitter-patter was coming down. The second batter, A.J. Malzone, he saw one ball, and then, well, that rain just pelted down out of almost nowhere and really hit this field hard. And even though it was only a 10-minute rain, 2 inches in 10 minutes, and the tarp couldn't get put on in time. And, well, with the rain coming in that quickly, there was no way for that game to get played. The field was soaked and unfortunately had to be pushed off to today. But because the game had started, we will be resuming that here from Witter Field. So we've got the resumption of the game from yesterday. It will be a full 9 innings here in game number one. And then game number two will come up after that, 30 minutes after the conclusion of the first. So we've got a ton planned. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break here. And we're going to make sure to go back to yesterday's interview with Jafet Martinez. I got a chance to talk to him before the game yesterday, and so here is going to be a playing of that interview in case you missed the pregame show yesterday. So some good stuff getting to talk to Jafet, and then of course we'll break down the lineups as we return to action in this first game of the day. Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 2nd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
Hello and welcome back into your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas. Joining me as our pregame guest of the show, it's Japhet Martinez. Japhet, how are you today?
Pretty good, boss. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing just fine. Glad to have you on the show here. And, well, I was trying to catch you a little bit earlier. Wasn't able to find you. any story about a little bit late coming in today?
Not really. I went to the gym, worked out with the boys, and had the opportunity to go to the graduation from my host family. I just went.
Ooh, sounds like a little bit of a fun activity to kind of get you away from baseball.
Yeah, a little bit. Not really, but it was just fun being there.
Oh, yeah. So it seems like it's been a good experience for you so far in Wisconsin Rapids.
I love it here, to be honest.
Well, I was talking to you a little bit earlier about your trip in here. Obviously, a little bit of a hassle getting in, but it seems like you've settled in at least on the mound for sure. So what's it like just coming into this and getting kind of put right into the competition, right into the game, ready to go, not really much of an adjustment period for you?
Nothing out of the ordinary, to be honest. Just go there, have fun, to be honest, compete.
Yeah.
I've been doing it since I was a little kid. It's nothing different. Nothing different, to be honest.
So, coming from Alabama State, is that where you were prior to heading up here?
Yes.
Was that a single flight? Did you have any layovers?
So, I went from Birmingham to Charlotte, stayed the night, grabbed a flight early, from Charlotte to Madison, and drove from Madison here.
Yeah, well, it was great to get to see you on the mound and talk a little bit about your stuff. You know, what kind of pitches do you have, and how were you feeling that kind of in your first two games?
Currently, I have a fastball, cutter, curveball, changeup. Changeup, I've been working on it. But my go-to, like, two pitches right now is just the curveball and fastball. Working for me pretty good so far.
A lot of success already. Specifically, I want to talk a little bit more about yesterday's game against Wausau. On the road, hostile atmosphere. You enter in with the bases loaded, and you go 1-2-3 with two strikeouts. How'd that feel?
Oh, amazing, not gonna lie. But just went there and competed, to be honest. Just attacked the hitters and had fun.
What was going through your head while you were on the mound there?
Attack. Don't hang the pitch, and that's it, to be honest. Just have fun.
So what are you kind of looking forward to the rest of the season? What brought you to the Northwoods League?
The assistant coach at Alabama State recommended me over here, and he told me it was going to be a learning experience for me. And I said, let's go, let's do it. And most of my buddies went here already, so just said, let's go, let's do it.
So you already know some of the guys here?
Yes. Not here, from last year.
Oh, from last year. Yes. Okay. Which were those guys?
Juan Berrios and Kyler McIntosh.
Okay. So good buddies of yours.
Yes.
Why didn't they come back to the Rafters?
One graduated.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And the other one is currently looking for a college. And he told me, like, his assistant coach is going to be, like, the head coach somewhere else. And he decided to go with them because there's better opportunities and stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, glad to have you with us here in Wisconsin Rapids, and obviously already showing off your stuff. What are you kind of looking forward to your next outing? Is there any specific thing that you're kind of have a goal for?
Be dominant. That's it, to be honest. Keep being dominant, attacking the hitters. Have fun and compete.
Just keep it going. All right. Well, that's all the questions I've got for you. Anything else you want to add real quick?
Not really.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time as always, and thanks for joining us on our pregame interview of the night. So once again, that was Japhet Martinez, our pitcher from last night and the night before of the game, the reliever of the game. Had some great performances and excited to see how he performs in the future. That's going to do it for this segment. We're going to hit a quick break, and when we come back, we've got more on your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
Who makes insurance simple? That's easy. Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So if you ask, what company encourages you to use your benefits for regular preventive care?
or who provides quick service online or by phone? Which insurance offers access to the largest provider networks? Or who helps you save money when you need more than a checkup? The answer's the same. Definitely Delta Dental. For dental and vision insurance made simple, choose Delta Dental of Wisconsin and Delta Vision today.
This May, you can have a chance to win it all during Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa's Mayopoly Mayhem. Earn entries for a chance to roll the dice in the Mayopoly Mayhem game, where you can win rewards play, lots of cash, and so much more. The better you roll, the more you can mayopolize on your winnings. You can have a chance to spin the Spinopoly wheel to win even more great prizes. It's Mayopoly Mayhem at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
Must be 21. See Ho-Chunk Gaming representative for more details.
Mornings on WFHR.
Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is peanut.
I can just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Well, hello and welcome back into the booth here from Witter Field as we get ready for the national anthem here in a resumption of the game from yesterday. And again, that suspension is going to play a little bit of a difference. We are playing two today. The first game going to be 9 innings. The second one is going to be 7 innings. And, well, you look at the Rafters, and they enter this one 1-3 on the season. The Rivets 3-1, and so these two games are going to be huge. If the Rafters win both, they'll move back to 500. Otherwise, it could be a 5-1 record for Rockford if they win both, and that would be pretty dominant the way that things are looking. We're going to go ahead and step aside as we get national anthem, and then lineups and starting pitchers after this. Witter Field, a nice crowd here at an afternoon game on Saturday. It's, well, a very nice day outside. The flags blowing out towards right field, kind of blowing across the stadium from left to right. It is a warm 71 degrees, no clouds in the sky. A lot different from yesterday and feeling pretty good. Starting the game on the mound, it is Seth Spencer. He started yesterday's game and, coming back out to continue his work. He has a 1-0 count with one out in the top of the first. The starting lineup is the same as it was yesterday. Jack Guerrero, Drew Thompson, Pat Costin, Royce Clayton, Hiroto Kobayashi, Noah Ruiz, Luke Skinner, Nick Adrian, and J.J. Garcia. That is for your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. And on the other side for Rockford, Cal Jones, he was retired with the strikeout swinging. A.J. Malzone is up at the plate to begin the game. He's got a 1-0 count. He's in right field. Tate Shimao is the third batter with Tommy Townsend batting cleanup. Colby Felix is batting fifth. Addison Worthman is batting sixth with W.T. Jones at 7, Byron Blaze at 8, and Ethan Delgado at 9. And that is the starting lineups with, of course, Luke Guest on the mound for the Rivets. He didn't get a chance to pitch at all yesterday, and it's going to be up to Seth Spencer to see if he can make it a 0-0 game to hand it off to Luke Guest. And, well, glad to have you along for the ride. This is WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Austin Thomas, and, well, it is perfect, a perfect day for baseball, as is really any day where it's 70 degrees and sunny outside. I mean, that is exactly what you want to see. And, well, the guys, they kind of needed a day like this. You know, you got to have a nice temperature game, you know, return to normal conditions, and hopefully feel good to get back on track. The Rafters having lost their last game, 12-3 at Wausau. But their previous home game, they did have the win. It was a pretty nice victory, 13-11 against those Woodchucks here at Witter Field. And we are ready to go here from Witter Field. Stepping into the batter's box, AJ Malzone. He's adjusting his gloves as we wait for the final 15 seconds of the pitch clock to count down. And, well, the Woodchucks, AJ Malzone, is a right fielder. He's got the 1-0 count, and it'll be interesting to see if this is a different game. It started off a 3-0 count for Cal Jones back in last game, but Spencer was able to work back into it. First pitch on the way, it's in there, called strike number one. So we are back underway, one out here in the top of the first inning. It's a 1-1 count to the right fielder. The 1-1 is a swing and a miss to make it a 1-2 count on Malzone. Malzone from the Rivets. He is from Wabash Valley Community College. A sophomore of Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, as the 1-2 just misses for ball number two. So we've got a 2-2 count. Tate Shimao is on deck. And this pitch misses outside. We are full again. And I was talking a little bit with Ziggy before the game about the pitch counts of these guys and whether those pitches from yesterday's game would count or not, as this misses low for ball number four, and Malzone will take his walk over to first base. He's the first base runner of the game for the Rivets. It brings up Tate Shimao with a runner on first and one out. Still tied at zero here in the top of the first. A resumption from yesterday's game, which had been suspended. And going back to talking about those pitch counts, it was, well, do those seven pitches that Spencer threw yesterday count towards his pitch count today if you were to only go 50? Is this one is a diving play by at first by Thompson. He'll step on the bag but not throw to second as the runner had advanced in time. But that is an incredible diving play by the pitcher playing first. Wow. Well, you look at a really odd switch just a couple games ago. Well, I guess last game by technicality. It feels like 2 games ago because it was 2 days ago, but it was the last game that they played in Wausau, and Jack Guerrero making his first career start in left field. Drew Thompson over at first base. Usually it had been Gallegos in left field as the first pitch here is called strike one to Tommy Townsend, left-handed batter. Townsend from Sycamore, Illinois, goes to Butler University, teammate of Espen Simpson. One of the Rafters bullpen arms. Runner on second with two away. The 0-1 is a little low for ball one, so we run it back even. So now the 1-1 count is outside for ball number two. And going back to that story I was telling about Guerrero in left field, I mean, that was his first time playing the outfield ever, he was saying. And, well, he made a diving play out there. And or not a diving play. He made a great throw from left field. He made a catch. And then a throw. Here's a pickoff back to second. Nearly hits the runner, but just gets by into Garcia's glove. And so Guerrero made a highlight play in left field in his first start over there. Thompson was over at first, and it's like, why don't you have Guerrero go back to first where he'd been playing? But he made a nice play out there, and then Thompson, right now at first base, already a highlight play. 2-1 count, misses outside, and it's a 3-1 count. Ziggy knows what he's doing with his guys. Any of you doubters out there, he's He's got a very bright baseball mind. I'll just say bright mind. Don't need to add the word baseball in there. As here's another pickoff attempt. They got him in time. No, but the tag couldn't be applied. Garcia was running off. He thought that he applied it. I thought he applied the tag in time as well. But time called here as the throw beat him by a mile, but apparently Garcia not able to put the tag on in time. So it's a 3-1 count, and that's a tough slide by AJ Malzone to avoid ending the inning on a pickoff attempt. I mean, that was a great pickoff move by Seth Spencer on the mound. 3-1 count with two away. He goes home, but it misses outside, and there's runners on first and second. Second walk of the frame, and it brings up Colby Felix. And that's a position for the Rafters where they have continued issuing walks time and time again. And you know, looking at them, you're always hoping, hey, can they get back on track? Can they find the strike zone? Well, some help coming on the way as they've got that expanded roster with some more guys coming into the arm. They actually signed a pitcher earlier today as this one is outside for ball number one. That pitcher actually standing to my right now, Kenny Schultz, one of the interns for the team. And well, I say an intern, but he is an actual baseball player. He plays over at Stevens Point, and he'll be activated for game number two. Whether or not he plays is yet to be seen, as this pitch misses inside to Felix, brings it to a 2-0 count. So regardless, obviously you always want the guys that you start the season with to be ready to go, and Ziggy still trusts them. It can never hurt to have too many arms on the squad. And 2-0 count here, misses inside, 3-0 count. But it's always it's such a cool story to have a guy who's coming out, working the summer as an intern, gets signed for the team. So impressive. I got to see his bullpen session earlier today. All the crew was rooting him on. And here's another pickoff attempt back to second. No throw down, though. So still runners on first and second with a 3-0 count and two away. Felix trying to work it here, and here comes the pitch from Spencer. It's high for ball number four, and that's three walks in the frame for Seth Spencer, and the bases are loaded yet again. Spencer is one of the only guys on the active roster outside of Schultz, who I just mentioned, who hasn't pitched an inning. Everyone getting some action here, and trying to find someone who can hit the strike zone. And, you know, I talk about that as, you know, as I don't mean it to dog on the guys per se, but I mean, for sure it's a problem, and it's kind of a fact right now. When you look at the team, they do issue some of the most walks in the Northwoods League. Entering the game yesterday, they had the most free passes, being walks and hit by pitches combined. They had the most free passes in the Northwoods League. Just by one, though, over Thunder Bay. Is first pitch here to Addison Werthmann is in there for called strike number one. Werthmann, right-handed hitter. So an 0-1 count here. And so obviously a focus on throwing strikes is going to be here for the Rafters, as there's another swing and a miss from Werthmann. 0-2 count, and this is what you want to see. You want to see guys attacking the strike zone, and Spencer finding his flow, and you hope that he can keep it up, build that confidence for this batter. Here's the 0-2 with two away, and it is in there, called strike three, got him looking, and Seth Spencer strands the bases loaded. So through one, no runs on no hits, no errors, and three left on base. It's 0-0 through the middle of the first. We'll step aside and come back with more here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris,
Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Raptors Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
And we welcome you back into the stadium here at Witter Field for game number one of a doubleheader. Previously a suspended game, we have resumed play here in the bottom of the first. The Raptors going to get their first look at the lineup. These batters have, well, I'd say similarly had an off day, but they've been at the ballpark all day yesterday, and a lot of them actually even got to help out with the tarp pull that, attempted to happen, but with the quick downpour of rain, it was nearly impossible to move that thing, and a lot of those guys out there were helping, though. A few of them in the lineup, and of course, they had their full warm-up routine. They were here for a few hours. So, you know, sometimes you look at a rainout and you say, oh, that's a true off day, but, well, maybe a little bit, but not quite as fully as a lot of people expect. So, they'll be back to work here for, of course, a back-to-back. It'll be nice to get both of those games out of the way with, and the Raptors going to hit the road tomorrow for a game at 1 o'clock in Lakeshore. They got like three games within 24 hours as this pitch misses low to Jack Guerrero for ball number one. It has a 1-0 count. Me and one of the other media guys here were talking with Jack earlier today about his approach as this one is fouled away on the left side of the grandstand. Has a 1-1 count. Guerrero, left-handed batter from James Madison University. He's going up against the right-handed pitching Luke Guest. And Guest going to take his time on the mound. He gets set and fires. And a swing and a miss from Guerrero. He was way ahead on that swing. And talking about that approach, Guerrero was saying, hey, if I swing at a pitch and I rip it, but it's out of the zone, I'm not proud of myself. And sometimes if he sees a pitch, he gets hung up on a strike. But it's way outside the zone. He looks back at the advanced statistics a couple times. That's about it, he said. He said he doesn't often use those advanced statistics outside of to see where he's swinging at pitches, as that pitch, again, is fouled back, so we stay alive here. And so Guerrero trying to kind of keep that mindset, and we've seen the discipline at the plate throughout the entire season. He's shown it off. And this one is hit to the right side of the infield. That's picked up at second base. The throw to first in time for out number one. 4-3 on the put out as Ethan Delgado picked it up, tossed it over to first for Tommy Townsend, and beat out Jack Guerrero to first base by hefty margin. So Guerrero goes down, and it brings up Drew Thompson, the right-handed hitting first baseman for today. Raptors in their all-white uniforms and Rockford in those dark gray Rivets unis. Azeas is inside, and it hits Drew Thompson right in on the hands, maybe above that at the chest area. And so he'll take his base on the first pitch. And, well, if you're going to hit a batter with a pitch, sometimes it's better to do it the first pitch of the at-bat. And so Drew Thompson, the first base runner of the game for the Raptors. And it brings up Pat Costin with one on and one out. Still tied at zero. Bottom of the first inning here in Wisconsin Rapids. Raptors 1-3 on the season. The Rivets 3-1. At the plate, the left-handed hitting Costin, who will take the first pitch inside for ball number one. Costin, he's behind the plate today, and so he's going to get a little bit of work in. He got a little bit of work in yesterday, taking seven pitches from Seth Spencer before the game was called, as this is outside for ball number two. So a 2-0 count. 2-0 with one away. Costin from Indiana University. The New York native is a high grounder over to second. We're going 4-6 back to 3 for a double play, and that is going to end the inning. An unfortunate grounder double from Pat Costin, and that does it for the first inning. The Raptors get one, but no runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on base, and it's 0-0 through one. We'll be back after this on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
Well, thanks for tuning in to WFHR here from Witter Field. I'm Austin Thomas as we welcome you back into the broadcast. It is tied at zero into the top of the second inning. Raptors looking for their second win of the year after taking third game of the season here. Their last home game they won, so they're 1-1 at home, although they currently sit at 0-2 on the road. They'll get back to work on the road tomorrow in Lakeshore, but they've got a doubleheader today against the Rivets and trying to take both games. If they do, they'll be able to jump back up to 500, where they hope to be sitting pretty at the end of the day. And that 3-3 record, it depending on what the other teams do, could be good enough to move them up in the standings quite a ways. Looking at the rest of the Great Lakes West, Green Bay sits atop the standings at 4-1, and the rest of the standings, nobody else is above 500. Fond du Lac, Madison, both sitting exactly at a 50% win percentage. And, of course, it's been a strong start to the year for Green Bay. They had the Raptors in the first two games of the year. And so we saw firsthand how good that squad was. And it looks like they're keeping that momentum rolling through the next couple of games. As Seth Spencer back to work on the mound. Left-handed pitcher against a lefty batter as the first pitch misses high for ball number one. W.T. Jones up at the plate. The third baseman for the Rivets tonight watches that pitch on the outside edge for strike number one. 1-1 count. Jones from Seminole State Community College has a check swing here. Did he go? Yeah, he did. Great pitch from Seth Spencer to get him ahead in the count. 1-2. Spencer, after walking three batters in the first inning, trying to find his spot, and a swing and a miss here. No, they're going to say that it was fouled. Just barely got a piece of that. Ended up in the glove, Pat Costin, but it bounced right in front of the plate. So we redo the 1-2 as this one is to the right side of the infield. Drew Thompson going to make a play himself yet again, and that is out number one. One up, one down in the second inning, and a lot of strikes thrown from Seth Spencer and trying to get back on track. And you always wonder, when a pitcher goes out, he starts a game, he's in that mental mindset yesterday, and he was ready to go yesterday, and you could see that in his face. When he was so ready to pitch yesterday, all of a sudden, you get that suspension of the game, but he comes back to return, and a little bit of a slow start, but back-to-back batters retired as that pitch misses high for ball number one. Out of the first four batters that he faced today, he walked three of them. As this one is popped in the air towards center field, Royce Clayton, a couple of steps to his left, now trailing back. Few more, but does make the catch pretty easily for out number two. So two up, two down in the second. So after walking three of the first four batters, he's now retired the last three in a row. And it brings up the nine-hole batter, Ethan Delgado, for the Rivets. Byron Blaze, the one under that pop-up to center field. Delgado, right-handed batter. Another guy from Butler as this pitch misses high and outside for ball number one. Delgado, second baseman for the Rivets. He was part of that double play and also the fielded the first out from Guerrero as well, as that pitch going to miss again for ball number two. So a 2-0 count here. 2-0 with two away, and a pitch just misses low. Nearly got Delgado to go around, but instead it's a 3-0 count. Top of the second inning. Rafters, Rivets tied at 0. Two away, bases empty. Spencer, the lefty, fires, and it's a pitch that just misses outside. And that's ball number 4, a 4-pitch walk to Delgado. Fourth walk of the game from Seth Spencer, but he's already recorded 2 outs in the second. And, you know, if you walk one batter an inning, but you don't allow anything else, I'd say that's a successful inning. Just, I mean, hey, whip is my favorite stat. You can talk about walks all that you want, but whip is really what matters. And my eyes, as that one was fouled back, well out of play. Cal Jones back up to the plate. Jones, the shortstop for the game, and his first plate appearance of today, but not of the game. He struck out swinging yesterday, and the only plate appearance that was completed before the game was suspended. Runner on second base, as Delgado had taken off after in between pitches. 0-1 count, as this is going to be just low for ball number 1. So 1-1 count. As this pitch misses away, and another ball there, and well, I'm going to be honest, I didn't see how Delgado got over to second base, and well, looks like they called a balk rather than on that foul ball, so it's not a foul ball. Instead, it's a 2-0 count. That pitch misses high, and a 3-0 count to Cal Jones. So the first pitch of the plate appearance was, you know, supposedly fouled off by Jones. That's what I had called out, but it was actually a balk from Seth Spencer. So Delgado got over to second on a balk, and a 3-0 count. He's taken off. The throw down to third is not in time, and he's safe with a stolen base as Cal Jones is going to get on to, they're going to call that one a strike. So now a 3-1 count, runner on third base. 3-1 count. The Cal Jones is the pitch on the outside edge, called strike number 2. Jones didn't like it, but he held off on throwing the bat this time. It was very similar to the way that the first plate appearance looked back in the first inning yesterday. 3-2 count. This one is hit into left field. Going out, coming in is the left fielder, and Guerrero's under it for the catch. Out number 3. So the first potential run came over to third base yet again for the Rivets, but Ethan Delgado stranded there. No runs on, no hits, no errors, one left on base, and it is a 0-0 ball game in the middle of the second. We'll be back after this on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're cruising along Highway 54, you're jamming out to your favorite song, you slow down for a red light when out your passenger window another car revs their engine wanting you to race. Now, at first you're like, no, I can't. But before you finish your thought, the light changes green, your foot slams the gas, your adrenaline is surging until your check engine light goes on and reality strikes. Have fun again in your vehicle. Work with the team at Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryan experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
Back to action here in the bottom of the second inning as Royce Clayton Jr. will lead things off for the Raptors. He is the man batting fourth in the lineup, and bottom of the second, still tied 0-0 as both teams have gotten behind their pitchers. Seth Spencer, a couple of walks, but still has limited the damage to no runs through two innings, and Clayton takes the first pitch outside for ball number one. Clayton, a right-handed hitting batter from Cal State Northridge. He's going up against the righty pitcher, Luke Guest, who's back out there for the second. 1-0 pitch is outside for ball number two. Clayton, he's been swinging a hot bat throughout the season, but he didn't end that last game at Wausau very strong. Two strikeouts there as this one's hit over to third base. Picked up five. The throw across the field to three for out number one. So Royce Clayton Jr. retired as it goes from W.T. Jones across the field back to Tommy Townsend. Well, Clayton not able to stay hot as Hiroto Kobayashi, another really hot batter for the Raptors. He didn't get cooled down, though, at Wausau. He kind of kept his flow going as this first pitch misses outside for ball number one. Kobayashi, right fielder for today. He's getting on base over 50% of the time, sitting around 53%. That pitch again.